Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, how is everyone doing? We are, what, halfway-ish through game week 5. I'm here to round up some of the action of yesterday. There's not too much point in looking ahead to game week 6 yet, because obviously we've got the big round of matches to come in a bit, but there were some interesting things from last night's games that I thought would be like, quite an interesting video. So I put together some stats and had a look through that. You might notice I'm not Karam. Karam is our brilliant host of the Stats of the Day video series, which normally go out Saturday when there's obviously when there's a game week on the weekend. He does those about 9 o'clock, the streams. So if you enjoy this kind of like roundup of the stats and things like that, do check Karam's video out every week. I think I'm filling in for him this week. I think he's away at the weekend, but he'll be back after that. So new video to the channel. If you do like it, obviously, drop us a like, give us some comments about it as well. And yeah, I'll pass those over to Karam too. Just before we get into it, I just want to talk about our sponsor for this video, which is Fanslide. I've been playing Fanslide this season so far. Basically, it's an app that you can use to kind of enjoy live games in a slightly different way. You can pick three players. They earn 3x, 2x and 1x points based on all the things that happen in the game. Interceptions, tackles, clean sheets, literally everything is logged and recorded and shows up on the screen as the game is live. You pick those three players, you can have them in your team for 20 minutes. After that time, you take them out and then you can't use them again. So there's a kind of a trade-off between, you know, which players to bring in from which team at which moments. Should you back the defenders early on and hope there's not an early goal, you know, for the weaker teams? Should you go for the strikers later on in the match where there tends to be more goals? All that kind of strategy is up to you to decide. It's completely free to play, and there are different sort of free to play games, each with their own kind of prize pool. There's also sort of paid for games as well. I think it's like £2 and £5, but you play for a whole match, so you don't have to, you don't have to keep sort of betting on it like you might do with other bets. If you are spending money, obviously 18 plus only, do gamble aware, gambleaware.co.uk if you're worried about your gambling or anyone else's, and also all the facts about gambling as well. But I think it's a really cool and fun new way of playing FPL that isn't just put your team in, you know, wait till the deadline and then you've got no control. You've got control kind of as the whole match goes and develops. If you are interested, tonight there's a £100 free roll, which is Liverpool versus Newcastle. Starts at 8 o'clock. You just need to sign up to the app, download it. There's links in the description. You can play that for free. See if you like it. Let us know if you do in the comments and on Scout as well. They're a new partner of ours, a brand new game. I've chatted to the owner. Lovely guy. You know, really wants to kind of make this game a success. So give it a go and let me know what you think. Right. Let's go into the roundup of the week. I put together this little graphic, which is very similar to Karam's. It's not plagiarising, because I actually made this graphic for Karam. So technically, if anything, he's plagiarised from me. Hi to people in the chat. 250 people watching. Hi to Haiku. How's the acting career going? Yeah, I don't think I've got a career in acting. I do have an A-level in drama. I got the highest mark for the practical exam in my class and the lowest mark for the theory, which got me a C overall. I was a bit disappointed with that, but probably the less said about that, the better. Anyway, no one cares about my acting career. Let's have a look at... that was in reference to the Match of the Day challenge, by the way, in case anyone was wondering. Let's have a look back at some of the action then. So I've watched the kind of highlights. I've read a load of match reports. I've looked at a load of fan forums about kind of the performances. I haven't seen, you know, the full... you know, four games of all these just to get into, but I've got a pretty good idea of how these games kind of went. And obviously, if you did watch the games, you know, let me know in the chat what you kind of think of it. Tim Lever asked how my wild card went. Yeah, I'll talk about that in a bit. Quite a decent start, actually. Quite happy for once. Let's start with Leeds and Everton then. I've got 1-0 on the screen. It definitely wasn't 1-0. It was definitely 1-0. In fact, all my scores are wrong. How's that for a terrible start? It was 1-1 Leeds versus Everton, of course. And it was 2-1 to Southampton versus Chelsea. Excellent. Leeds drew 1-1. The XG data bears out that it was a very even game. XG for Leeds of 1.01. XG for Everton of 1.00. Not too many kind of major standout performers, I didn't think. I mean, Sinisterra took the headlines. He scored a goal from, I think it was outside the area, just beat sort of Pickford at his near post. Really nice goal. XG for that of only 0.2. Big disappointment for Rodrigo owners. Obviously, he was subbed at 30 minutes and looks like he might be out for a little while as well. So people are going to have to make decisions about what to do with him. I mean, if you got him at six, you know, you can't afford Sinisterra, for example. I think we're going to see some people moving to Harrison if you want to keep faith in Leeds. His XG in that game was 0.36. Pretty good. He's created a lot of chances this year already. And I think Rodrigo could potentially have been a problem for people anyway. So in some ways, that injury might be a bit of a blessing for the people with Rodrigo in their side, although it's hard to see that kind of as it is. I was impressed with Leeds. I thought, you know, sometimes the XG, I think a lot of these XG data doesn't really tell the full story of kind of what happened in these matches. But, you know, I think this one particularly, I think Leeds were the better side. They created more chances. They had more energy about them. They had more shots. The problem with Everton is they seem just to be happy to kind of soak pressure and kind of allow teams to have chances and have the ball and try to, you know, hit teams on the kind of counter-attack and you know, they don't have the kind of clinical finishing ability. Well, they don't even have a striker, so trying to find a clinical finisher in their side is going to be really difficult for them. They're incredibly reliant on Gordon, who scored again. I mean, what Cooper is doing with that through ball coming through from Iwobi, he kind of, if you haven't seen it, Iwobi plays a really bad pass that basically is going straight into Cooper's legs, and he kind of dummies it, but dummies it straight into the path of Gordon, who then finishes. It's a really weird bit of defending. So obviously that's why Iwobi's XGI is 0.03, whereas Gordon's is 0.45, because he was essentially through on goal after that mistake. So they're the kind of chances that Everton, you know, desperately need to take. I do fear for them from an attacking sense. I definitely fear for them from a defensive sense. I think they've got a pasting coming in a little while. It's really annoying me that says 1-0 and not 1-0. Must be annoying people. Yeah, Josh White. I know the scores are wrong. I don't really know how that happened. I think sometimes I have it set up so that kind of things automatically update. And I wonder if I've done that and not changed it. Anyway, yeah, sorry. Leeds drew 1-0. I've even got the colours wrong as well. So I just completely got that one wrong. But yeah, I think Everton fans are kind of rightfully worried about what's going to happen to their team. I think, you know, if Gordon does leave, that is just a huge loss for them. We'll talk about Chelsea in a bit. I don't think Gordon massively improves Chelsea, if I'm being honest, but it massively weakens Everton. They've got 3 points from 5 games. I think some of those points have been fairly lucky as well. So I think Everton are a team that we're going to start targeting. The reason their XG is so low, and a player that isn't mentioned here was Patterson. Patterson had a really good chance kind of right at the end to actually get Everton more from that game, which would have been a big surprise. Onana had a good chance as well. So they're reliant on kind of very few chances to kind of get those points. So we'll see. I don't think we're going to be considering any of their options for a while, but I still think they're a team that we can kind of be struggling. The teams are going to, you know, find it quite easy to play against at times. And they have a tendency to frustrate and annoy teams. And I wonder if Liverpool's going to be one of those. But I think they've got a pasting coming soon, pretty much. They're just quite a negative team to watch and to play against. I think there's probably a drubbing. If we head over to the expected stats, for example, this season so far, I mean, this is inclusive of Bournemouth's 9-0 loss. There's no team that's actually conceded more chances than Everton in the league. Them and Fulham, interestingly enough. But obviously, they have played kind of a game more as well, so you'd expect Bournemouth to come up. But given, you know, this isn't great for them. If you look at the minutes per minutes per expected goal conceded, which is probably a better metric given they have played more games. Everton are third from bottom. So they're conceding effectively a goal every 59.6 minutes. So expected to concede well over a goal, pushing on towards two goals every game. Bournemouth are next with 54.1. And Forest are the worst team defensively in the league so far. And they play City tonight. So Haaland captains will be confident about that. So that's their defence. I mean, if you look at the XG of Everton, they are not too bad when you compare it to that. I mean, you've got Bournemouth right down the bottom. I mean, 286.5. I know they've had a hard run, but that is an absolutely shocking. You know, they're just not expected to score. You know, expected to score one every like four games, whatever it is. It's crazy. And next worst on the list is Forest with 108.1. You've got to go down to 82.7 for Everton. So they are expected at least to score a goal every match. It's just, are they likely to when they've got no kind of striker in their side? So they're okay from an attacking sense, although I wouldn't be investing in any of their midfielders. But from a defensive sense, as I said, I think they're still a team to target. Leeds, on the other hand, Leeds are doing decently from an attacking sense. Minutes per XG, 60.8. You know, that's kind of in the top six. Of all sides, below Brighton, why not? Spurs, Liverpool, Arsenal and City. So I think, you know, given the fixtures still good for Leeds, this is a time when you can keep faith in them. I really like Sinisterra. I'm going to find it hard to get him in because he's 6.5. But if you maybe have got a little bit of extra money in the bank and you're moving off Rodrigo, I think Sinisterra is a really fun pick who's going to be kind of Rafinha light in some ways as well. From a defensive sense, if we go back to, I won't do the XG conceded, we just do it by minutes. You've got Leeds somewhere table, I believe. Yeah, there. So mid-table, 68.2. So again, Leeds aren't a team that I think, you know, they're a team that's invested in the attack, and I don't think they're showing signs of being a team that are going to get pasted every week, which is probably a far cry from what I thought they were potentially going to be at the start of the season. So Leeds, okay. Hold your players. Everton, don't buy any. That's the kind of the thing I get from that. Let's take a look at the second one, which is Southampton Chelsea. Oh my God, what is going on with Chelsea? Obviously, the scores are wrong on this one as well. My apologies. Southampton did win this. He's got the colour right. They won this 2-1. Chelsea, I mean, what can you say? They're a team that plays well in spells. I thought they were really impressive against Spurs. Lack the cutting edge, which is something that we're going to be saying probably the whole season unless they sign a striker. But again, I thought, you know, against Leeds, they just look really disjointed. The front three just doesn't seem to be gelling at all. They've got problems in midfield, injuries. You know, they're relying on Kante coming back, who isn't the same player that he was a few years ago, has all the injuries himself. Kovacic is out. Gallagher was banned. Loftus-Cheek has now got another injury. It's really, really grim, I think, from a Chelsea sense. I think they're struggling at the back, and that largely that comes from the fact they can't keep the ball in midfield and they don't have that cohesion kind of in the final third as well. You know, Mount got the assist, very fortuitous. I sold him. Obviously, that was going to happen, but never sensed that he was going to get kind of a big haul from that. Sterling scored a good goal. He's kind of the lively player. He's the one that you want to invest in if you're going to be getting a Chelsea player. But let's be honest, I think we can do a lot better than investing in Chelsea at the moment. You know, I know a lot of people have moved from James to Cucurella. When you look at Cucurella's XGI in that game, 0.05 against Southampton, really poor. You're not going to be getting many attacking returns from him if that continues, when you compare that to when Reece James plays on the right side. Cucurella's XGI is nowhere near the level that James's is, for example. So, yes, you're paying less, but I think James is the only Chelsea player that we should really be considering. A few people mentioning Fofana in the chat. He signed today. Interesting, he obviously makes Chelsea better defensively. I think that pretty much affirms that Reece James is going to come back at right wing back and stay there. Be interesting to see what happens with Cucurella, whether he carries on, whether he just is the upgrade now to Chilwell, who just doesn't seem to be playing, or if he's going to be kind of in and out of the team. I just don't like Chelsea defensively particularly. It'd be interesting. I want to see how they settle, you know, with Fofana kind of in the side when they go back to the back three. I think while their midfield is so light and so weak, teams are going to be able to win midfield battles and get at them. And it doesn't matter how you can have, you know, all the best centre-backs in the world, but if your midfield is weak, teams are going to find a way to play through it and bully and get through. So I think Chelsea are just a hard avoid at the moment. If you've got Mount, you sell him. If you've got Cucurella, you probably hold. You probably look to bring Reece James back in a few weeks, but I certainly wouldn't be investing in any of their other players. I really thought Broya was going to start. You know, there were some rumours that he was, and I think that's kind of the type of play they're missing. I mean, that's what we all thought Lukaku was going to be. And they've, you know, they were struggling without him and they've got rid of him and haven't signed anyone. It's really bizarre what's going on there. And I think Tuchel's in trouble. Because if Tuchel doesn't start turning this round, you know, given the amount of investment that's been spent, given the fact there's a new owner, which never normally is great for a manager who was there before, you know, he might have his own ideas, his own ways of wanting to the club to play. I think he's going to have to turn around results around pretty quickly. And I look at that squad, even with the money they've spent, and I don't think they're going to do it. So really interesting times ahead for Chelsea, especially when the Champions League and stuff kicks in. Just don't think they've got the squad to compete. And they're going to be challenging the top four rather than challenging anywhere near at the upper echelons of the league or the Champions League. Southampton, though, I mean, really impressive. Really, really impressed with Southampton. I thought they were great. You know, I think teams are starting to learn a bit more that you can, if you attack some of these top sides, they can be got at. And we see it against Liverpool. We see it against, you know, Man City even, when Palace attacked them. OK, they eventually ended up losing that game, but at least they gave them a bit of a game. And that's the way to kind of, you know, especially when you've got a team like Chelsea who are in a bit of disarray, you kind of have to get at them. And I was impressed with a lot of their players. Perrault's on there. I thought he played excellently. Lavia scored a great goal. I mean, 4.5 million mid. He's only 18 years old as well. They've signed all these kind of new players and, you know, not having Gineppo at left back or whatever it is, probably has. Thank you, Jimmy Daniels. Very kind of you in the chat. And we'll see kind of what happens with Southampton. I think everyone, including myself, had written them off kind of at the start. But if they put in performances like against Chelsea, if they put in performances against Leeds as well, when they came back from that, they'll probably have enough to survive. So, yeah, great performance from them. Again, I don't think there's going to be a huge amount of investment in any of their players. Not yet. Elianusi, you know, looked good on the XGI. But realistically, I think, you know, it's not time to invest in them. What was interesting, I mean, Chelsea lost that game 2-1. I think they could have lost it by more. The XGI data again doesn't show the full package. I mean, they had two, you know, almost certain goals cleared off the line, Chelsea as well. So it could have been even worse for them. But I think they were lucky to escape with a 2-1 in that match. Fulham Brighton, yeah. I mean, this was my dad. If anyone saw the stream earlier. Yesterday, my dad predicted a 2-1 to Fulham, and he's been predicting, you know, a lot of Brighton wins this season already. He's really happy with the team. This was before we'd even seen the lineup. When I saw the lineup, I thought, is this Potter being too clever again? And I think it probably was in the end. For the first 30 to 40 minutes, Brighton were absolutely awful in that match. It didn't look like they had a plan. Didn't look like anyone knew who the actual striker in that side was. And it got a lot better when Welbeck came into the side, and actually he had our best opportunity in the match. It was really just a kind of Mitrovic show, as it is going to be so often when it's Fulham. And it's the reason why I wildcarded and brought him in, just because of how impressive he is, you know, and how that team is just so structured to get the most out of him. It's a hard buy for him because obviously he has Spurs and then has Chelsea. But you've got to think, I think there's going to be rotation for Spurs in the next game, given they're going to the Champions League. And Chelsea, despite all their signings that we talked about, are in a bit of disarray. So I think it's not a bad time to move on Mitrovic. His price is going to go up as well. And I think, you know, when you've got a player like that in the side, Talisman doesn't even begin to cover what Mitrovic is for that Marco Silva side. So I think you get Mitrovic in. You know, I think Tony, we're going to talk about Zaha. They've got some other kind of talismans there as well. But if I'm picking out of those three, I'm picking Mitrovic. In that one. I actually had some data on Brighton from last season, just to show that nothing really changes. Here's the team comparison. Again, this is all on Fantasy Football Scout, so if you're into this kind of stuff, do head over and sign up and you can have a look. But if you look at the XG delta, so goals minus XG, so basically a minus indicates that the team should have scored more goals than they have. West Ham are sort of at the top or the bottom of this, whatever you want to call it. And then Wolves, and then there's Brighton in third. It's typical, you know, that's kind of where we are. If we go back to 2021 as well, last season, we are third on the list of that as well. So, you know, this is just a thing that happens time and time again. What you don't do when you're a team that can score a lot of chances is not play a striker. I can't understand why Undav didn't start that game when Welbeck was out. Okay, you wanted to give Welbeck a bit of a rest, and he said he took a few knocks, but surely you give Undav the chance to perform, to you know, start that. And this is the problem with owning Brighton assets. I've got Pascal Gross. Brighton are going to frustrate because they're going to create chances. He's going to create chances, and we just don't have anyone really capable of finishing them. Welbeck is our best finisher, and he's not exactly known for being a clinical finisher. So Yeah, same again. You know, defensively though, we are looking really good. Again, we're third on the list in that, so we've actually conceded two goals less than we should, and that's in part to Sanchez just having a worldie. And you look at Everton and Forest. Pickford's had a really good start to the season. I thought he was excellent in that game. Made a really good save against Leeds. And Henderson, obviously, is just going to win. He's just going to win Forest points because he's a top tier keeper. So these are the kind of metrics you want to see. It's good when your team is obviously not conceding more chances. You look down the bottom, you look at Bournemouth, you look at Leicester, you look at Southampton. A lot of these, you know, you've got to question kind of the keepers and the fact that if they're not saving what they should, then they're probably not the ones to get. And don't target those defences, which I don't think any of us are, he says, with Ward as his starting striker in the wild card. Let's have a look at Palace. Brett on Pufu saying that didn't change. Oh, sorry. Let me go back to that then. Did I not press filter? Oh, no, you're right. Sorry, it didn't change. No, we actually go up to second last year when it's when we look at the you know, the expected data versus goals. Yeah, Norwich should have scored basically 13 goals more than they should. We should have scored 12. This is last season. So, again, I mean, yeah, so I didn't press the filter button. But, yeah, nothing changed. So we're third on this season and we're second last season. So, again, it's going to be a theme that just carries on with Brian. Thanks for putting that in the chat. That's why it's useful to do these lives, you see. Right, let's look at the third game then, which was Palace versus Brentford. Not too many standout performances from Palace, except for a certain Wilfried Zaha. I thought he was absolutely superb in that game. I do wonder if a team's going to make a late move for him. I'm not sure where he would go. I think it was Goldbridge talking about how he thinks he should sign for Chelsea. I don't really think that's the kind of signing they need. I mean, they've got Sterling there anyway. You know, they've got Pulisic. Do they really need another kind of sort of light player like that? I mean, he can't be any worse than what they've got at the moment. But, you know, I look at the top sides. I look at Arsenal. I look at United. They're going for Anthony and they're going to want him. Spurs are stocked in that position. I don't think any of the top six sides are going to be going after him. So I don't know where he would go. Arsenal, Newcastle, potentially. If Sir Maximan's injured, would they put in a bid for him? He's only got a year left on his contract. I'm interested to know kind of where you kind of sit with that. But yeah, he was really impressive. Been a great goal. Great goal for him. Really enjoyed watching him play. Brentford played well. I thought it was a game with not too many chances. Tony did his kind of thing where he dropped deep and was kind of spraying things around. He set up a few kind of chances, sort of half chances for Palace. But actually his XGI of 0.82 suggests that he was unlucky to come away from that game with nothing, because in 82% of games, basically, he gets something from that match. And if you look at some of the other players, I mean, you're looking at their defenders, really. Zanka, me, you know, they had good chances right at the end of the game, could have actually won the match, which probably would have been a bit unfair. Vissa scored a good goal, great cross, you know, 2 minutes from the end of time as well, a great ball from Yanal. So you look at these XGI kind of things, most of this came sort of towards the end of the match when Palace looked like they were in control of that game. And like I said, not too many chances in that match until Brentford almost snatched it kind of right at the end. Brentford, an interesting one. I mean, a lot of people have got Tony. I think he's fine. For me, I'd rather have Mitrovic if I was going to be buying one. Now, I think we're going to see too much of Tony dropping deep and playing others in. This is a good option. They've got Mbeumo there. They've got loads of other players that can kind of score. Mitrovic is just all the Mitrovic show. It's all about him. And I like that more, even if the fixtures are a little bit tougher. Zaha's is a really interesting one. I mean, 0.53 XGI. I mean, the goal he scored would have had an XGI of something really low. So he had sort of other chances kind of in that match as well. He's everything to Palace. I personally don't think he's going to sign for another club. And if his injury is kind of behind him, then it's going to be time to maybe invest. But I would definitely wait and don't buy him until the transfer window is closed, just in case someone does put in a late move for him. I think that's pretty much it. Thank you, everyone, in the chat. A few people being nasty about my rank. It's not very nice, is it? You know, don't kick a man when he's down at 4 million. All I'm trying to do here is kind of present the stats. I've got to give a bit of opinion as well, or it'd be pretty boring, this stream. But yeah, I mean, I think out of the games yesterday, there isn't probably a huge amount of interest in players other than Mitrovic. Mitrovic is by far the key player, and I don't think we need to keep watching him to know how Fulham set up and what they're about. I've been impressed with Fulham this season. I think, you know, I was worried about them kind of defensively. I thought they'd probably still score goals, but would struggle defensively. But I think they've made a really smart signing in Leno, who actually kind of kept them 3 points. We had a chance right at the end. And yeah, I think, you know, with Mitrovic as well, when the fixtures turn, he's going to be kind of in everyone's side. So I don't think there's anything wrong in going early on Mitrovic and pairing him with Haaland and Jesus, which I think is going to be the front three that most people have. So move for it early if you're looking to you know, strengthen your striker spot and kind of go from there. Right, everyone, thank you so much. Nice quick stream. This one, 26 minutes. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Cam, we're back doing these soon. Thank you all for joining me, and I will see you tomorrow. It's a Janny's team reveal tomorrow, so we'll be talking to Janny, find out how he's getting on. I think he's like 20 points ahead of me or something like that, so that gives you a pretty good taste. So if you don't like listening to a 4 million rank manager, you can listen to a 2 million rank manager talk about his team instead. Also, I think before I did this stream, we were either very, very close to 80,000 subs or on 80,000 subs. That's been my target this week, to hit 80,000. So if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, please do. Really appreciate it. I do like this stream as well. Once we've hit those 80,000, I will be getting a new graphic, which is the one I've just done, because that was at 73,000 when I first started. Now we're at 80. Lovely stuff. Thanks, everyone, and see you all soon.